Hello and welcome to the Brief News Brief podcast, where we keep you up to date and informed on the stories that matter. This show is presented by the Life Given Radio, and I'm your host, Isaac Lopez. I want to just, before we jump into the stories that I really want to highlight for you, for your attention and notice this week, I want to point out a new tool that we have, and that's the newsletter. The briefing that we'll be putting out three times a week, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays in the mornings Pacific time. It'll probably be around the 6 to 7 a.m. that will cover probably in the course of the week, you'll see 60 to 70 stories that matter. And this is for the readers who may only want to skim. And that is what we're trying to market ourselves as, a podcast and a newsletter that people can stay up to date and informed on the going ons in our culture and world in a short amount of time, because in reality you don't have that much time. So it's built for three different kinds of readers. One is the skimmer. I've only got 1 minute to see the headlines and move on, right? And we try to get the stories that matter, right? And then there is the two-minute reader, the person that wants to know a bit more of the facts behind the story. And so we'll include a quote that has important information that gives a bit more to what the heck the headline is talking about and get beyond the snapshot, right? Then there is the 10-minute reader who goes through and sees a story and then reads that article. And we try to post articles that are free to just about anyone, that are easily accessed or available. You might need to make an account with the New York Times, but you don't have to pay, because I didn't have to pay to access that. You just might need to make an account. And it could be worth your while. Now, because that's a resource, because we're going to have those headlines widely available for everyone on the Life Given News, on the Life Given Network blog, you can go check that out Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And if you miss it, oh well, you can just go back and look at it on another day. That means this podcast is going to be slightly repurposed. And we're going to look at the big themes, the big stories, and go run through a series of articles on one event that percolated and progressed throughout the week. But you'll have your opportunity to have that news in a short amount of time still throughout the week. And then once we get to Friday, we'll have seen the stories that really need to be highlighted. And then I will try to give a rundown of these stories that gives a bit more background, and we can focus into actually breaking them down. But once again, through all this, you understand that I'm a Christian, that I'm conservative in my viewpoints, and yet I want to be fair in my assessment. And just because Fox News or The Blaze or The Epoch Times releases an article, that doesn't mean that I think they're automatically right. I may agree with them ideologically, but that certainly doesn't mean I'm going to lower my magnifying glass, if you will. So both the newsletter and this podcast will still draw from a variety of resources and sources and outlets. So just as an explainer of the new direction that this show and newsletter is taking. Really excited about all of this. So today's episode, entitled The State of Capitol Hill, a check-in on how the battle over abortion is raging, and an update on the Gabby Petito case. We'll close with that story. But I want to open up with the state of Capitol Hill. I think that we've seen a number of stories coming out from all of the different outlets that shows that things on Capitol Hill are aggravated. Now, to what degree, I will let you decide that. Just like we've done in the past, I will let you be the judge and let you do your own thinking. But there have been reports of different things coming out of Capitol Hill that we will get to. But just a reminder of a few things that have led up to the mounting frustrations there. So there's been a crisis around the southern border with thousands of immigrants trying to get into the U.S. There has just been this big headline around that for months now. It started in the summer and it continues to get worse. And headlines like this from Fox News about how thousands of Haitian migrants camped in Texas are now being released into the U.S. Now, that is something that is happening, but the immigrants that are being released, or the migrants that are being released into the U.S., have court dates. There are multiple options for these for the people at the border processing these migrants to either send them back to admit them legally into the U.S. or this option, and that's to allow these migrants to come in, but have to show up in court in 60 days to figure out what they're doing. And that is just because they're at max capacity, right? There are so many. There are thousands of migrants trying to get in. And so because of this nightmare situation of where we are just overwhelmed at our borders, there are repercussions for that. And one of them is that President Biden's special envoy for Haiti, Ambassador Daniel Foote, resigned Thursday, saying that he doesn't agree with the actions of the United States government at this time. He called them inhumane, counterproductive, this decision to deport thousands of Haitian refugees back to Haiti, because he cited that the Americans there are having to stay in their compounds because of the ridiculous nature that is the Haiti culture right now, just what is going on there. And so there's that whole situation, right? President Biden's guy resigns, isn't happy with the choices made by his president's government. And then you also have the situation in Afghanistan. And there was this hearing this last week. I can't remember the exact dates, but there is a hearing with the State Department, Pentagon, Department of Homeland Security, and Office of the Director of National Security. These officials from these institutions failed to answer basic questions around the exit from Afghanistan and the state of Afghanistan, and Republican and Democrat lawmakers both left the meeting, absolutely frustrated. And this is from from CNN, this report. And this situation in Afghanistan we've been covering for the last month, it just continues to compound, and questions, we don't necessarily know what, or we aren't going to get into it here, questions aren't being answered. And the decisions that were made that kind of led to the debacle that was Afghanistan and the exit from there and the collapse of the Afghan government aren't being answered. And so you have yet another situation. And on top of all of that, there's the coronavirus response to the coronavirus pandemic by this new administration, which isn't certainly is drawing lines in the sands where not a lot of people are comfortable with that, especially with the new vaccine mandate that President Biden is trying to get all companies over 100 employees to mandate vaccines. So there are these three big picture situations that if a president only had one of those, it would be a handful. Now President Biden is trying to juggle all three. That's a lot to a lot of pressure to be under. And so the country has, at least some voters that were polled, have spoken up and says that the country is less united under Biden rather than more so to the tune of 54% to 37% who thinks that the country is united. So that story came out showing the dissatisfaction with what is going on right now. And so people are taking this opportunity to try to mobilize some kind of repercussions against President Biden. And that's where GOP lawmakers have now introduced articles of impeachment based off of a number of reasons, citing the president's failed handling of the crisis at the southern border, his attempt to extend the federal moratorium on evictions, and his bungled military withdrawal from Afghanistan, the Washington Examiner reported, and this is quoted by the Blaze Media, okay? So they get into all of this, but they also acknowledge, these GOP representatives acknowledge, that this is really more of just a show, that this will not get past the House, it won't get past the Senate, this won't be ratified, if you will. This is something that they're hoping sends a message to Washington, to President Biden and his government. So that's I think, a look into Capitol Hill. Everything's being aggravated, and all of these things are pulling in every single direction, that it will be interesting to see how the Biden administration tries to juggle everything. And from the looks of it, it's not going well for everyone on the Hill. Now, let's focus in on another, honestly, this is the biggest picture theme, biggest picture issue, in my opinion. And that is the abortion battle that is raging. And really, it's starting to come to a head, and it feels like this is the war, the turning point in the issue around the killing of children that are unborn. And that is this fact, the simple fact that the Supreme Court allowed this law in Texas, which basically inhibits abortions, I think after the 15-week period, and the Supreme Court allowed it to stand. In September 1 was the date for them to strike it down. They didn't. It went on, and it's now in effect. And they're about to hear another abortion case, another one, I think, based out of, let's see here in my notes, in Mississippi. And Catherine Frank, this information is being gathered from the Daily Beast, an article they release. Catherine Frank is a professor at Columbia Law School and a director for the Center for Gender and Sexuality Law. She says that this reliance on the pro-life, well, she says pro-choice, but both their reliance on the legal courts, on the decisions made by the courts, has reached its logical end. We've been waiting to outlaw this atrocity of murdering our children. And it's finally coming to a head in the Supreme Court. And this article called "Biden's Long Game on Abortion Runs into Harsh New Reality," I think is actually really good news. And that's why I put it in the Some Good News section in my newsletter on Friday, the 24th of September. And the reason being is that we've got people in the pro-choice camp, almost the entire camp, backpedaling, trying to figure out why can they not stop this situation in Texas, and what stops other states from putting that into effect. And now we see Mississippi taking a lead, going up to the highest court, where they've allowed this decision of Roe v. Wade to stand for 40 years. And now we're finally getting to that with maybe a case that could really, really challenge this king of the hill that is Roe v. Wade. So Catherine Frank mentioned that their reliance on the pro-choice camp, that is, their reliance on courts has reached its logical conclusion. And so it's time for advocates of the pro-choice camp to get a law that allows healthcare to defend access to reproductive healthcare, which obviously includes killing our children before they're out of the womb. And so I think that that shows that this battle continues to yet rage, and it certainly has reinvigorated the pro-life camp. Now, I want to close with this. The arrest warrant that was just issued today, or that being on Thursday, rather, issued for Brian Laundrie. Now, if you have been following this case, then this won't have come as a surprise. Brian Laundrie has been looking more and more suspicious as the case continues on. But if you were like me and you weren't aware of Gabby Petito but kept seeing her name everywhere, then I'll try to catch you up on what has been happening. But basically, this girl and her fiance go on a countrywide road trip, and they were going to live out of their van for a number of months, and they weren't due to arrive back or arrive at their destination until October. The fiance gets back to their home, which wasn't their necessary destination, doesn't get back. He gets back in August. They were supposed to get back to their destination in October, and he doesn't have his fiance with him, but he does have the van they were traveling in. He didn't answer any questions. He didn't let his fiance's family know where she was, and so thus began the manhunt. I think it went on for about a week for Gabby Petito. They finally found remains, unfortunately, in Wyoming, and they finally just identified them as Gabby's. And an arrest warrant has now been issued for Brian Laundrie, and now he's on the run. And that's where we stand. I just wanted to catch you up. If that's been in our What's Trending section for the last two newsletters, because that has been one of the most searched topics on Google Trends. And I have added to that because I was curious. There are a number of news stories out there, but I would recommend going to YouTube and looking for a recap. And I think there's like a 20-minute recap that was really helpful for me to catch up on the facts of this case. Now, that concludes the revamped, the new improved, the brief news brief. Let me know what you think. Please share the show wherever you can. Tag along for the ride for these newsletters, because that's going to give you access to so many more stories that we can't cover in 15 minutes on the podcast. I guess in this case, 17 or 18 minutes, because I've gone on. And follow along on the Life Given website. Just go and subscribe there. You'll receive notifications every time we post a newsletter. But if you prefer to just track on Facebook, just keep an eye on the Life Given Network or the Life Given Radio Facebook conversation. Until next time, remember who the real enemy is. Ephesians 6:12. God bless, and I will speak with you next Friday.